Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma and Brian E. Roach.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Joe Kuzma, and as almost always these times, I keep finding him. He keeps coming back like a boomerang, my good friend, my colleague, my cohort, my partner in crime, my brother from another mother, a host who doesn't like a particular breakfast food. Does he really need all of this introduction? For those of you who know him,
I do.
No introduction's necessary. But for those of you who don't know Mr. Brian E. Roach just yet, simply no introduction will do. Brian, what's going on, my friend?
Wow, I don't even know how to react to all that. That's like,
I know.
That's wild. I feel so special. I feel so special, Joseph.
I feel like Michael Buffer over here. We're going to get ready to rumble. He's slim, trim, lean, mean, rough cut, and buffed and jacked. That's the way I feel when I watch the Steelers games, man. Why can't we ever just get one that isn't a heart attack?
Oh, jeez.
Like, I feel like I'm going to go into like cardiac arrest or something. You know what I mean?
I'm clearly not. I'm not going to any more games. And I'll tell you why. Because the last two I've gone to, like, are the most unsatisfying victories of all. Like, a Bears game that you didn't think should be as close as it was. And a Seahawks game with no Russell Wilson that you didn't think should be as close as it was. And you just keep getting – I'm done. Maybe it's me. Maybe I need to just not go to the games. And then it'll be fine.
except
the problem is – they've won both times I went. So, you know, then again, maybe I do need to go.
Maybe it's a good thing. And I didn't go. And I was sitting. Hey, this is the superstitious thing that happened on my end. So Foco sends me and the little one, my 8-year-old daughter, Chloe, some pajamas. And we did a social media promotion. I'll probably end up wearing them sometime on the podcast. It's actually pretty decent. It's not cold. I don't want to wear long sleeves right now, but they're really cool. They have different designs. Hers says like little Steeler on it. And long story short, like I changed out of my Color Rush jersey. I was wearing my TJ Watt jersey, and I'm very superstitious about, and I'd love to hear superstitions, by the way, from all sorts of folks out there, because I'm sure I'm not the only one. I took the jersey off to do the whole photo thing with the kid, wanted to wear the pajamas. So it's like, cool, let's do this now. We'll do this during the game, you know. And then she wanted me to just leave the pajamas on. I'm like, oh, no, I don't know. I can't do that. I got to put the jersey back on. And I think she put my good friend who sits next to me at the games, Miles, always says the kibosh, right? Put the kibosh on it. I had to go put the PJs back on, and then the Steelers go and put on the Chris Boswell game-winning field goal and everything like that, put on that final drive. So, yeah, I know it sounds like I'm crazy, but I went and slept in them. They need washed. I'll wear them on one of the upcoming episodes here. But well, that's the way I feel, man, as far as the superstition thing. She begged me to wear the pajamas, so I put the pajamas on.
I get you. You have your other superstitions. I don't really have a superstition per se, other than, you know, I like to wear a jersey of somebody that I think could have a potential game, right? And so I really, and I did have an issue. Like, I wanted to wear a Color Rush uniform or Color Rush jersey at the Color Rush game, right? I would have sworn that, you know, amongst the 477 jerseys I have upstairs, that I had a Cam Hayward Color Rush jersey. I did not.
Ooh.
So I was like, well, okay, I'm torn.
Just go buy a new one, man.
but here's the problem. I only have two color. Out of all those jerseys, I have two Color Rush. One is Mr. Big Checks, not wearing that crap.
Yeah.
Two, it's Mike Webster. Well, that's Mike Webster Color Rush is kind of interesting and cool, but dude never played in Color Rush. So I like having it because it's a Webster jersey and it's fun, but I don't want to wear Color Rush for a player who never used Color Rush. That was like, okay, that's all going through my head. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to the Steelers sideline store when I'm there. I'm going to go to the pro shop. I'm going to buy a Cam Hayward Color Rush jersey. That's my plan. I'll bring and wear my standard home T Cam Hayward jersey just in case, but I'm gonna buy a color rush. So I get there, and of course the supply chain has killed me and destroyed me. They're like, we can't get Cam Hayward jerseys in to save our lives. Can't be done. Can't get them. It's impossible.
They didn't carry a whole lot of them to begin with, which was always kind of bizarre.
Always annoying. What the hell's wrong with you?
I mean,
more Cam.
Even for that matter, Ben. Like it's always
they had
been
a lot
like,
of Ben. They had a lot of Ben.
They do maybe now. Najee Harris, of course, the rookies.
TJ, actually. Najee and TJ is
always
huge,
TJ.
Yeah.
Huge, but one of the wide receivers, usually right now, probably Juju.
A lot of Claypool. Like,
yeah,
and a lot of there's tons of Juju in there because nobody's buying them because he's hurt.
Yeah. Well, of course. Yeah. It's like you had that rare instance where Alejandro Villanueva like blew up over, you know, the whole anthem spiel a few years ago and
Bears
and
game
veteran thing. Yeah.
In Chicago. Where was Bears game in Chicago?
Yeah. Speaking of Brian, you know, now that we talk maybe a little bit about the game. I'm the same way though. I like to wear somebody who has an impact, but yeah, I don't know how many jerseys I got right now, but I had quite a few of, you know, Antonio Clown and the, and I also had a bunch of Troy Polamalu jerseys. I had an AB, I had everything.
Same with me, Troy.
Block number, Bumblebee. I had a whole bunch of them. But the Steelers finally, and Big Ben, that was one of the teams he hadn't defeated yet, Chicago Bears. He hasn't won in Chicago, but they haven't played a whole lot. I think this is only their fourth encounter. Mike Tomlin and/or Ben Roethlisberger. The Steelers, though, increase their home winning streak on Monday Night Football. They're now 20 straight wins on Monday Night Football at home. I can't even say at Heinz Field. This streak goes all the way back. The last time they lost
to Three Rivers,
New York Giants on October 14th, 1991.
Wow.
That may have been one of the few games I started watching as I would have been, I don't even think I was 10 years old yet. I would have been like 9. I used to go. There was a convenience store down the corner. Big Ben, his little interview and that, and talking about Monday Night Football. I don't know if you got to see a replay of the game, but he talked about how he would ask to stay up a little later, maybe catch the first quarter. And Monday Night Football used to start at like 9 o'clock. It was even later back then, right? And whenever the Steelers might be on a Monday night game, because living in Northeast Ohio, Browns took precedence on Sundays. And, you know, I was dragged to different places, church and then whatever we did after and stuff like that. So when you're a kid, you don't get to watch this as religiously as we do as adults going and attending games, things of that nature. So Monday night, it's like, oh, this is great. I get to see, you know, I get to see the Steelers. You know what I mean? And I probably did watch this game maybe back then. I clearly can remember watching maybe Super Bowl 25 is one of my first ones is the Giants and the Bills with Bill Parcells, Big Tuna. But it was interesting. Since 2006, the Steelers had defeated every NFL team, all other NFL teams except for the Chicago Bears. So since 2006, that predates Mike Tomlin. That was Bill Cowher's last year. That is just, it's crazy. That's crazy. And they were tight games, too. It was like 17-14. The one wasn't. 40-23, 2013, Matt Forte. Of course, 2013 was an aberration of a year, if you remember it, and all the injuries started that. And that was a primetime game, too, I believe, Sunday night, I think. And then 23-17, the overtime game in 2017 with the goofy officiating then, too, with Cleet Blakeman. So we got quite the history here, you know, with the Chicago Bears. 29-27, you would have liked to see it a little bit. Some things a little better, I would assume. I don't know that I'm going to go through all. I got to kind of go through some of the drives just because there were so many goofy things. But let's talk about some grown-ass men to start this off.
I'm always good for that.
I know you're always good for that. On the offensive side, I think there's one. There is one man who stands above the rest.
I might even have to get his jersey.
I was already saying, I think a Color Rush 88, it would look mighty fine on this frame. Pat Freiermuth. Oh, my goodness, man. And I knew this one ball was going his way. We talked about this all the way since the draft. Talked about Kyle Pitts, talked about Pat Freiermuth, talked about taking him in the second round. Everyone arguing it. Pre-games, we've been talking about you got to hit your saddles to the top two picks. Najee Harris, who scores the first touchdown very decisively. May I add, on the first possession of the game, too, the Steelers' first drive.
So the hell was that about?
I don't know. They figured something out. They looked like a fine-tuned machine. Freiermuth scoring not one but two touchdowns, and his catch radius is just ridiculous. There was one that was like all the way down in his ankles that he didn't get at some point during the game. I mean, you can't fault him for that, but my goodness, that's 2 weeks in a row, and he was held. Defensive pass interference all the way up in his pads, and he still comes away with this football. And it wasn't bobbling around or moving or anything like that. It was very decisive, because I know there's a lot of hoopla and controversy and rigmarole going on about this game. Oh, the referees.
What? There was rigmarole?
Yeah.
There was rigmarole. Okay.
There was rigmarole on both sides. Even on NFL radio, Solomon Wilcots and I think, was it Todd Haley? I'm trying to think who the other guy was that was on yesterday. We were talking about unbalanced game, and it's like, look, the Steelers can't help if the Chicago Bears commit like five neutral zone or offside infractions in a game. Like, those aren't subjective calls. Those are, you do it and the flag is thrown. They caught him with 12 men on the field once, and Ben thought he got him almost the second time, which we'll talk about too. You got at least five or six penalties of, I don't know how many they're penalized. I'll pull it up here. I wanted to say like 10 or 11 penalty. Steelers got four first downs off of penalties, which was kind of ridiculous. Not that they needed it in some cases, but Chicago Bears were penalized 12 times, 115 yards. I understand there was one or two that are going to be in question here. The Steelers, on the other hand, penalized five for 30. I mean, 10, 12, that's a lot of penalties, but it's also your team was very undisciplined in this game. The referees, it's not their job to say, well, we threw too many flags, so we're not going to throw. They could have threw more. The tackles, particularly the right tackle facing up with good old TJ Watt there, that dude was jumping on a false start practically every snap. And they're kind of looking the other way on it, maybe because they don't want to throw a whole bunch of flags and keep the game going. And it's so erratic. It's like listening to a scratched CD for those of you in our age bracket that had compact discs, or buffering. If you're doing the internet streaming, it's buffering. So
there you go.
But we warned you, this is Tony Corrente, but I had to get that off my chest about the Bears and fans, what they're saying defensively. Brian, who we got? We got some grown-ass men here.
Oh, come on. Well, I'm going to save him for last. You got TJ. Clearly. TJ is a grown-ass man. TJ had a game and a half, all right? I mean, he did have a monster game. Mm-hmm. Like, what, was it three full sacks or two and a half? Three sacks. So he's got the hat trick of sacks to throw in a hockey reference. And everyone knows, I don't know jack about hockey, and I don't understand it, but I know that that means you got three.
Yes.
So three hockey things occurred.
Goals.
Don't explain it to me. I don't want to know. I don't like the sport.
No, I don't have time. No, we're not going to waste everyone's time and give you a primer on hockey just yet.
okay. So tackles for loss, sacks, quarterback hits, pressures, batted balls. What can you say? I'm just going to put it the same way Mike Tomlin did. He's well compensated.
Yes, he is, and he deserves to be. Well, that's one, and this is almost become the, you know, you expect certain things from him, and then he like raises the bar,
exceeds them. You're like,
yeah,
the hell.
that's
one.
See.
Okay, you can't. Don't take my guy. You go. You give one. But
I don't.
Don't be taking
I don't have
man.
Too much of another guy, except for I will say this: we gave all these props to Pat Freiermuth, who was going against poor Kendall Vildor, who was getting abused, the corner from the Chicago Bears, was getting just attacked all night long. And on the other end, you got Joe Hayden, who's conceding about 16 inches to Jimmy Graham and gets some air time and knocks the ball away. You talk about well compensated. You talk about certain players, or whether they're a shell of themselves, etc. That pretty much says it there. You got two guys. I think Jimmy Graham's probably in his 30s now. He's been around for a minute. Let me look him up. Because you got 32-year-old Joe Hayden, who just smacks his ball away. 6'7", He's 6'7". He's 34. So you got two of the older or elder statesmen in the NFL here, and it's just like, wow. One of you just put the one just put the other in the home.
Yeah.
So that would be my pick, although I'm not going to put him over TJ or.
Or the OG, the OG, Cam Bam Bam, Cam Hayward is a grown-ass man. What can I say? First of all, they're starting to get, it may be Steelers fans, it may be me, but they're starting to be traction for the Cam Hayward deserves consideration for Defensive Player of the Year because dude is just having a year, right? He went out for a play late in the game, right? He went out, down on his knee. I'm like my heart stopped. No. I'm like, no, that can't happen. That can't happen. Dude's having the monster year. Can't happen. No, no, no. And he's having this year without Stephon Tuitt taking up, you know, information on the other side. He is just like so dominant on his side of the ball. And that interception. What can you say? Dude's like, wow.
That interception.
That was so awesome. Cam Hayward is a grown-ass man. And I'm going to continue to say it. And I'm going to continue to use my new GIF where I point down at the statement. I might actually redo that because it needs to be
fancy. Yeah. Well, a few things, though, to bring up. We thought Najee Harris would have a little bit better of a game than he did. 22 carries, 62 yards, 2.8 average. Not the greatest.
I'm going to say this loud and clear.
Yeah.
This was not the offensive line's best game.
No. And let's also rewind, even though some folks are saying, well, they didn't have Khalil Mack. Oh, who's the one linebacker? They were missing a linebacker. They were missing Jackson, the safety. Who was the other linebacker? Alec Ogletree was out. Eddie Jackson was out. But Akeem Hicks, Eddie Goldman, Bilal Nichols, did we not say in the pregame that these guys are still some monsters up front, particularly Goldman? Goldman's really strong. I mean, this is the same thing we saw with the Buffalo Bills, you know, at the beginning of the year, and we weren't giving what's his name? They're one of their defensive tackles, probably the – it's like the ignored guys, you know what I mean, along the front. Yeah. Sometimes you don't say enough. We didn't ignore this necessarily, but I still thought – they were giving up enough yards otherwise. They still committed enough to the run. They still ran for a total of 105 as a team, including Ben carrying twice for 0 yards on the stat sheet.
Yes.
That one, wow. Maybe if he's 29, he gets a first down on that one.
That one was hilarious. I laughed so hard.
Najee added 3 catches for 16 yards, so he's not completely lost outside of the game. 13-yard long, I believe that was the touchdown run that he ends up having to start. Just kind of cooled off. Yeah, I think we could talk about this maybe more later about Moore, Dan Moore. And some of the other performances, I know Kendrick Green off and on, there's times he gets up to the second level, then there was a time he was put on his ass, so it's kind of tough. You get like the one blitz, I think it was Roquan Smith comes in, untouched, Trey Turner makes like a bad read there, but that type of stuff does happen. So like, I'm not going to hold one play, but I've been ragging on Dan Moore. I think Dan Moore has a future in the NFL. I think Dan Moore has to develop a little more. He needs maybe to get yanked. And some people were talking about maybe moving a core forward to left. I don't think you do that. You know, we've talked about it, me, you, the professor, who will be back soon. He's almost done with his college season. So you don't weaken two spots by moving a guy who's been playing all year at right tackle to the left.
Yeah.
I don't think you do that. Can Zach Banner play on the left? Maybe that's been the hesitation or the weight, maybe his health. But I got to think some type of change. You got to see if there's something that's a little bit better, because most of the pressure these days, aside from well-designed, you know, you get an individual effort. These are pro football players. You get well-designed plays that are executed by the other team. That stuff happens. But consistently, it looks like Dan Moore just gets pushed around into the backfield, and that's been the case even during this 4-game win streak, which who thought they would have a 4-game win streak? I'll take a W even if it's ugly, Brian. I don't necessarily care. Steelers go up. They score on these two drives. I wouldn't say the first two drives, but they get up 14-0. We already said the aforementioned first series that they get, 6 plays, 59 yards. With the Najee Harris touchdown, the defense pretty much holds for the most part. to where the Steelers get the ball back. They have good field position on their 42. They're even out to the 50, but they couldn't get it done. Presley Harvin with a not so hot punt. I think he had more than one maybe in this game. 38 yards.
Yeah, that. Whoa.
Yeah, this one I understand a little more. This one only gets to the 12. I think he's anytime he's like doing a directional punt seems to be where he's had the inconsistency.
Issues?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the few things Lewis Riddick and Brian Griese brought up, they were absolutely horrible on commentary. Like, you're lucky you were in the stadium. I wish I was. These guys said some of the most ridiculous stuff that I've ever heard. Well, if you hadn't heard this one, they were talking about Najee Harris and living homeless and stuff like that. And they said when he went to college, he slept on the floor to start for several months because that's what he was used to and comfortable with. I swear to God, it was only 5 minutes he must have been in the locker room. Najee has his phone. I guarantee people blew up his phone because he tweeted out, "I never slept on the floor in college. I slept in a bed." Like, holy cow. And then, and to top it off, I don't know if it was, I think it was Greasy that was saying this. And he said, "This was one of my favorite interviews that I've ever conducted, like the production interviews." And it's like, yeah. It's your favorite interview and you got that wrong? Wow. I mean, that's just some of the stupid details.
That's embarrassing.
It's very embarrassing. Cam Hayward gets the interception with his big bear paws. Knocks it up, deflects, and catches his own deflection there. And the Steelers get the ball, and they get into the second quarter. We have a 9-play, only 36-yard drive. There was a lot of criticism about the yardage gained by the Steelers' offense, but for the most part, they had short yards and mostly capitalized on them. You can't fault them because the stat sheet looks a little weaker. On the other side is where it's more of a problem, but the Bears actually ran fewer plays too. Toward the end of the game, I thought this became more of an issue. But there's a three and out, and you think maybe the Steelers get to do something, but Kevin Dotson on this drive has an offensive holding penalty. That kind of stalls to a second and 18. Steelers go to run the ball. Najee Harris only 4 yards. Pat Freiermuth for 7, fourth and 7 on their 20. They're going to punt. They're playing the field position game. Why wouldn't you? You're Mike Tomlin. You have the defense that you have. Defense does it again, man. T.J. Watt gets a sack. They lose 10 yards. Third and 18 from the 35. You have an ineligible man downfield, the center, Mustafa. It goes to third and 23. Incomplete pass to Cole Kmet, and then they punt. It's a short punt. So this was almost out to like around midfield. The Steelers 40. Now it goes to the Steelers 9. So the Steelers get conservative here, up the two scores, and that was my main problem with the offense. You had a short little pass. This one to Derek Watt gets involved a little bit, also gets involved on the Najee run, which was good to see for that touchdown earlier. Third and 2, and they couldn't pick up the yards. This was the one to Kevin Rader, my guy, so I had to bring him up. Well-designed play, but no, he didn't have any blockers in front of him. There were two men unblocked, and they're guarding the line of scrimmage. They're right there pressing the line. And they just ball hawked to him. Tashaun Gibson makes that tackle. Presley Harvin kicks it away. Let's see. You had a little bit of wildcat play here by the Bears. They're trying to get something going. They get all the way down to the Steelers 12. They had a 12-play drive that consumes about 4.5 minutes, only 52 yards. Ends with Cairo Santos finally putting them on the board, and they go to halftime with the Steelers up 14-3. The Steelers get the ball, win the coin toss. They deferred, so they get the ball to start the third quarter. Starts off with a roughing the passer, Brian, but then after that, it's 3 plays and straight out. Najee goes for 4 yards on a run. Ben also finds him on a pass only for 3. Incomplete attempt to James Washington. That drive just kind of stinketh because it started with a negative 5-yard little type of screen or quick out pass to Deontay Johnson, covered by Kendall Vildor, who got burned all day, and he's able to make a play like that, but because of the roughing the passer, and this was one of the ones where people were like, oh, is that really roughing the passer? Well, he never gets that call. So when we finally get one of them, we're like, yay, it's about time.
Is it? Yes, it is. Do we normally get it? Does Ben normally get any of those kind of calls? No, but that doesn't mean it's not a valid call. It is.
the next Bears drive, they start from their 7. This is the one where Justin Fields finds Marquise Goodwin for 50 yards. This is challenged by Mike Tomlin, and it should have been. The guys on TV, including their referee analyst, former NFL referee John Perry. John Perry was all about these calls. Oh, this is a great call. I've never heard him actually criticize his own brotherhood, and I don't think he's going to, even if he's not a part of it officially anymore. He was for very many years and is friends with these guys. You're not going to say a bad word about them one way or the other. This is probably a catch. Look at the finger strength on this. I'm like, are you kidding me? This ball... He's got his feet in, but as he's stepping out, this ball is still moving like, I don't know, like Harlem Globetrotters. Like, it's in his hands, but does he really have possession of it until he's out of bounds? And that really bothered me, because if you're going to call that, we got one a little later on with Ray Ray McLeod, where there's some movement and, you know, questionable body parts down. And does he have control if it's pinned against his hip or underneath his body? Can the ground cause a fumble type things? You know what I mean? So the inconsistency of the officiating, this is the one play where I really point out to anyone who might be Bears fans, this costs the Steelers some points, but they get a makeup call. And this was the one where Daniels, low block, went down at the knees at TJ Watt. And then the guys on commentary are like, well, he didn't touch him. Was there actually contact? It doesn't have to be contact. It's a safety rule. He shouldn't be going diving at his knee. So if the guy avoids contact, it's not a penalty. Like, it's the same thing if somebody comes in diving, like, with the crown of their helmet right at somebody, and at the last second they kind of move out of the way, and it's, let's just say it's a quarterback or something like that. Dive at his knees, and he avoids the contact. They don't throw a flag? That's ridiculous. And they're saying, well, it's in the tight end box. And they even show it on TV, and they always draw these things, and it's like, well, that looks like, number one, the drawing is a little off, and it looks like the guy's right at the edge of the one that you put on the television screen. Yes, I will say a disclaimer right now. I am a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and I am biased for my team. But on the other end of things, this is just like some completely – they're the rules. And we told you it's a terrible referee. This is the Jesse Cotter referee, okay? The Bears have to end up – this it nullifies the touchdown pass – one of the touchdown passes where he found Jimmy Graham open in the back of the end zone. They end up settling for a 22-yard field goal. It's 14-6, and you're like, okay, come on, Steelers. We got to get something going here because this game's a little too close for comfort. They come back with the aforementioned Freiermuth drive where Kendall Vildor is interfering with them. He comes down with this catch on 3rd and 8. Once again, the one last week was a 4th down play in Cleveland. These some huge, huge, huge plays, plus the impact of scoring a tutty. So Chris Boswell misses an extra point, and you're just like, oh boy, here we go. This is always like leading in. But this is 9 plays, 75 yards, in 5.5 minutes, roughly. Good drive by the Steelers offense. I have no complaints by the Steelers offense. Steelers offense in this game scores the most points they've scored all year. They didn't get the 30.
I will say, I have no complaints about the offense in the first half.
Yeah, that's fair. I think they got way too conservative, Brian. Way too conservative. And trying to chew some clock, it was just like, let's just run Najee without any real purpose. That's what it felt like in some cases. Let's just throw him in the middle of the stack.
Yeah.
That's the way I felt. So we get into the fourth quarter, and this is where the Bears score 6 plays, 82 yards. Direct snap, Wildcat, David Montgomery. They just totally shocked the crap out of the Steelers' defense here with 2 big chunk plays, one to Darnell Mooney, one to Jimmy Graham. They get the tight ends going, which was smart. If anybody's been watching, it's usually the second guy. So Steelers got to respond, and they don't. They don't at all. And this was the Presley Harvin punt that ends up going for a touchback. They start Bears end up getting the ball back starting on their 20. They are down 23-13, 10-point spread here. Steelers defense does their job. This is 3 and out, finished with TJ Watt and his never-ending motor, getting a sack on Justin Fields. We get a 57-yard punt from O'Donnell. This is the one with Ray Ray McLeod. Hey, look, I don't have a problem with calling it a fumble. I'm just making a comparison to earlier with the Marquise Goodwin catch and control and ball movement. It's like, so if you're on offense, is there more leeway than when you're on defense? Or I guess still you're on offense if you're a punt returner. But It's a real tough one because I see his wrist or his elbow down, and the ball's still against his hip. So I'm trying to figure out.
But not in control. I had no issues with that call. I knew they were going to uphold it.
Yeah, I knew that.
There was no question in my mind. When I first saw it, I thought, no, it's not a fumble. His knee's down, right? Then when I second saw it, I said, no, the ball's moving way earlier before he's down. It's not secure. It's not totally loose,
yes,
but it's not secure.
That's the way I felt about the Goodwin catch. Yes. Loose.
No,
totally
I also
secure.
Agree. I didn't think the Goodwin catch should have been a catch. I
That's
also knew they weren't going to overturn it.
Yeah.
Because they called it a catch,
yes,
on the field.
Yep.
And they weren't going to overturn it, even though I didn't think it should be a catch. So.
Excellent way of putting my thoughts into words there. That's exactly what I was looking for. Loose, but not in control. That probably best describes both. But the problem is this is recovered and taken for a touchdown after a three and out, and you're up 23-13. This is the reason the game got close.
Yeah.
Steelers have a nice drive here, and it ends only in they get the ball at their 25. They run 11 plays. And this is where we have Robert Quinn offside and some things like that. This is also the Cassius Marsh taunting. He sacks Big Ben on 3rd and 8 at the Chicago line of scrimmage, Chicago 47. So he's going to lose a little more. It would have been to the 40. You don't even get a field goal attempt where the Steelers are only up 3. This bonehead, I've got to put it out there for anybody who thinks otherwise. We had some problems with replay in this game. We didn't really get we got one angle of maybe where Ray McLeod and the ball's out, and the other ones you saw, it's like it's the same thing. Like I was saying, you don't know that the ball's out. Okay, on this, I didn't see until the post game that Cassius Marsh celebrates, runs over, does a Patrick Swayze or whatever roundhouse kick, Chuck Norris roundhouse kick, and. Then he goes, starts strutting towards the Steelers sideline at their bench, staring them down. Doesn't get off the field. Harvin's already out there as the punter is walking out. Turns around to go back to his bench and runs into the referee. And some people are like, oh, well, that was a weird hip check by the referee or whatever. Tony Corrente's sitting there with his finger on the trigger, deciding whether he should throw a flag for this.
Right.
More than likely even discussing it in his earpiece. He's not going to pull his arm out and hit the player as he's walking by him. He has a fixed position of where he needs to be for the next play as a referee, okay? He's also going to stay there so the player doesn't have to guess where he's going. Now you're getting this odd thing. You ever walk in the store, you're shopping, grocery shopping, Target run, whatever it is, and you go to go this way and the other person was trying to avoid you and they go the same way? This is a human interaction here, and that's the reason they bump into each other. Do I think that had anything to do with it? Only if Tony is telling that knucklehead to get off the field, which he may be. We don't know that. We've seen him. Marsh really doesn't – we can't see. It doesn't look like he says anything. But everything is added up to this point where this is just egregious. And it's taunting, and they're telling my boss, the NFL, the competition committee, is telling me they want to crack this down. And this is what one of the emphasis things were that we watched in film, or what they said fits the criteria. A lot of people are like, oh, these guys should be held responsible. We've said it too, you know. I've never agreed with like fines for the referees or whatever, but they still get graded on all this stuff. There's still an eye in the sky watching their performance and whatnot. You lose your job if you don't call this play. You can't necessarily blame Tony Corrente. You got to blame. The blame goes on Cassius Marsh, whose position coach was screaming at him on the sidelines following this because he knew.
Absolutely.
He knew. He's like, what the hell are you doing? You just cost us, you know, 15 yards, which that's another problem. If you're going to call the taunting, first down, the yardage involved and everything like that, that's a pretty stiff penalty for something that's going to be always going to be subjective and likely controversial. But Cassius Marsh called up from their practice squad. It's like he thinks it's some type of revenge game. I don't know. Maybe his feelings were hurt that he was cut by the Steelers. Whatever be the case, it's like, dude, just cool it, and you could celebrate later, maybe. And maybe later on. But this led to a Chris Boswell. Did not win the AFC special teams player of the month, or not month, but week, but probably should have for the two 50-yard field goals, 52 here, 54 earlier, and the fumble recovery, which we didn't even talk about with James Pierre. Yeah. But
I thought he was dead again.
I know. Please don't die.
What the hell?
That ball just went to him so gently. But the Bears get their first lead of the game. Well, he missed that PAT, so that's probably why he doesn't get the player of the week. They gave it to a punter. 7 plays, 75 yards. I don't know what the heck was going on here. This is where you said, yeah, Cam came off the field here for a few plays. He got hurt on the first one. There's a big chunk play where Arthur Mallette gets abused by Allen Robinson. Robinson is a Pro Bowl, possibly All-Pro wide receiver, maybe, if this offense is doing different. We saw Justin Fields kind of come into his own during this game, where people are now starting to talk about whether he got the chops maybe to do this a little different than the jitters early on in the last few games. I'll give him some credit. Darnell Mooney finally gets involved. We talked about Darnell Mooney, 16-yard touchdown. It's not what you'd like to see, but they absolutely torched the Steelers' defense here. The Steelers get the ball back, and they're able to put together a quick 7-play, 52-yard drive, 1 minute, 20 seconds. There are a number of penalties. This is where everybody now, after the taunting, just thinks that they're getting picked on. But Robert Quinn is offside. Tashawn Gibson is offside. Then Dan Moore has a false start. And this is where I'm saying, it's like, come on. It's like, we've already had this at this point of the game. Ben spikes the ball. I think he's going to spike it regardless. But he also thought, they're pulling like their 11th guy off the field. They were going to be shorthanded. You got to stop the clock there. There's no doubt about it. There's 41 seconds. But it was second and two. If Ben recognized that was the 11th guy and not the 12th guy coming off, somebody would have been wide open. Maybe a little bit of the old fake spike type thing would have worked there. But then again, you run a play there, you're going to be chewing about what, 10, 12 seconds maybe? If it's a pass play, he's got to drop back. Because they weren't really lined up in a play. He's probably going to have to call out something or just backyard football it. But Boswell makes a 40-yarder. It still gets a little hairy and dicey all the way up to the end. I can't figure why Matt Nagy would have threw Cairo Santos out there for a 65-yard field goal at Heinz Field.
I was like, really? That's what you're going to do? That's your Hail Mary? This guy is going to kick the longest field goal in Heinz Field history. Maybe, like, I don't
by
remember
10
what the
yards.
Longest. Yeah,
think,
by 10 yards.
I think it's 55 is the long.
And he's going to do that to do the game. I was like, well, okay. Somebody took their happy pills this morning and is very excited about this idea. Or you know, you never know. Maybe the kicker's like, coach, I could do it, man. I could do it. I can kick that far. I'm on performance enhancing drugs. I can do it.
Yeah. No. However,
not even close.
However, and I got to go back to another thing that was said on TV too. But here they said it hit the crossbar, Brian.
Oh my God. It was 15 yards short.
They apologized after another replay. Lewis Riddick says, well, from our vantage point, what, at the middle of the, like, one of the best seats in the house in your press box, the TV
they were
press
just,
box?
They are, oh my gosh, that's, oh, wow.
I know you didn't hear that.
I'm so glad that I didn't hear that. That would have caused, I would have been apoplectic on Twitter had I heard that. That's just ridiculous.
You should hear this one. So Greasy says when they tie it 26-all on the Darnell Mooney touchdown, right, they get a penalty, right? The Steelers had encroachment on the point after try. Well, this might change some things. I think maybe you go for two here.
No, you don't. No wonder you don't play in the NFL anymore. You're an idiot. Oh, my
goodness. He's old now, too, but
you're an idiot. Your dad should come find you and smack you upside the head. Good God. You're making the good name of Brian be bad. That is unacceptable.
Oh, man. Well, what else can you expect with that Michigan education? But anyways, it was still, you know, again, your butthole's twitching on this game. It's just like...
That's gross. I don't want to know about
that. Okay,
the
heart's ticking
a
little faster.
TMI. There you go. TMI.
Just, you're on the edge of your seat. I'm just like, I can't ever like just go to bed like comfortable, et cetera, et cetera. Like you gotta make this.
This is my theory. They know I'm in the stands. They know I'm there. They know I'm going to have to sit in a garage waiting to leave the garage. Brian. Yeah, there's like Brian's here, and he's got to wait in the garage. Let's make sure that he's wide awake for the time he's in the garage so he doesn't fall asleep in the garage, and the garage guard comes and wakes him up, thinks he's a derelict, and then lets him go. So let's make sure that he's wide awake for the trip back from the garage to the hotel that he's staying in. Let's make sure. So that's what they're doing. They're trying to take care of me, and I appreciate that. Except I don't. I would have been fine. I could stay awake. Trust me.
Hopefully your ticker is in good health. I don't want to ever see them have to life flight you out of there or something like that. Yeah.
I'm coming for you. I'm coming.
But if you're gonna go, what better way? I guess being at the Steelers game.
No, I can think of better ways.
That's true. Okay.
I mean, I love my Steelers, but dude, I can think of better ways.
They had that show like 100 ways or 1,000 ways to die or whatever. Brian, Steelers, where are we at right now? 5-3, second in the division now, which is interesting. Cincinnati just the week before was top.
That was a surprise to me. I mean, I'll give the Brownies credit for white, but I was surprised. I did not expect the Browns to win that game.
Not necessarily not win it. I was just surprised in the fashion that Cincinnati just gave it away too. And the Brown, and this was the difference where Steelers get like that turnover with Boswell, and I don't think they did anything. I'm not sure did they get any
nothing.
Points.
Nothing. No,
that.
They did nothing.
Nothing off of that. You got to get some points off of turnovers. The Browns are getting like a pick six from Denzel Ward, 99-yard return. That flips it immediately because. That was, I think, Joe Burrow was targeting his favorite guy, Ja'Marr Chase. And then Nick Chubb was running all over them, too. They had, like, three different plays that were over 60 yards. They found Donovan Peoples-Jones wide open. Eli Apple, complete bum, even more wide open than what Allen Robinson was on Arthur Millett. I mean, there was huge separation on that play. So in that context, too, Cincinnati is just like, those receivers did Joe Burrow no credit, tipping balls in the air that were getting picked, not catching easy ones. It was just a very sloppy game on the Bengals' part, too. And the Browns, I didn't watch it. I know. I watched both, and I also watched the Ravens go to overtime with the Vikings.
Also a surprise.
Yeah.
We didn't expect that to happen either.
Well, but Anthony Barr had a very, very much like a Cam Hayward play. Where Lamar Jackson tried to do one of these little sidearm things right around him, and he just boop, put up the mitts and just grabbed it. And you're like, oh, this is an overtime. This is it. And then the Vikings didn't do anything with the ball, didn't do anything with it. Give it back. You can't just keep giving the ball back to Lamar Jackson. I'll give credit where credit's due. You could
force it. They're kickers on performance-enhancing drugs and can kick it from the one-yard line.
That's the other thing there. If you're not moving the needle any and now you're in sudden death, Justin Tucker is going to get you a win from anywhere. I don't know. Again, I say how sustainable is it, and they sustain once again. They got completely – Harbaugh, for being a special teams coach, got owned on some special teams plays. There was a fake punt – they went for a first down here. There was a kick return for a touchdown by the Vikings as well with a guy that has only been on the NFL roster for 2 weeks or something like that. He's relatively new. And there was yet another play like that. So they got owned on the special teams end of things, which you're not used to seeing. But anyways, my whole point in bringing this up is you've got, Buffalo 1, New England 2, Baltimore 3, Pittsburgh 4, Cleveland 5, Cincinnati 6. That's everyone in the AFC North, by the way, above 500. Tennessee 7, the best team right now in the AFC. And then the Chargers, Raiders, Chiefs, and Denver Broncos. That gets you up to – they're all over 500. There's 11 teams with at least 5 wins. And then you also have the Indianapolis Colts sitting there at 4-5 also. This is a very, very bottlenecked AFC where only 7 of these teams are going to make the playoffs. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. But just goes to show – what we were saying in the preseason, 10 or 11 wins could very well win this division, and we're halfway through, and we're seeing if you double those numbers, that's pretty close. Baltimore, of course, it would be like 12, but and we got one more. We got an odd number because we're only 8. Some of the teams have played 8. Some have played 9, so you got some things like that. So, Brian, my friend, thanks for joining me once again, man.
I'm happy to be here. I gotta give the Yinzer Mob guys a shout out. I went to their tailgate before the game. And it was a good time. Very enjoyable. Very nice folks. A lot of Bears fans there. I saw some very weird, like, Mexican face mask wrestling Bears fans guys. Thought about getting a picture with them, but I didn't do that. They were very, 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 very large men. Not in a good way.
The luchadors. Those are luchadors. Yeah.
Whatever they are. I don't know. But it was fun. They were cool, and everybody seemed to be pretty cool. But I give them credit for, you know, taking care of me a little bit during the whatever the hell it's called, tailgating. You know, I don't usually do that stuff. So it was cool to go and hang for, you know, a little bit. So I'll give them their shout out for that. I appreciated it.
Maybe this weekend you come hang with me for a change.
That's a possibility.
I'm going to be there finally. I've been going through withdrawal, so it's been a while. The night games, these primetime games, just weren't something I was going to be able to swing with the kid and everything else. So, Brian, thanks for joining me once again, folks. As always, thank you for joining us as well, whether you're watching or listening there, home, work, in the car, wherever you may be. Thank you for supporting Steel City Underground. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe, and we'll be back and right around the corner here. I know it was like a late week post game on kind of Monday Night Football. Everyone, we're traveling and everything else when it comes to these games and that. So thank you for sticking there with us. We'll have a pregame, hopefully, later this week as well. Until next time, my name is Joe. His name is Brian. We encourage everyone out there to be safe, be good, and we'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.